by Jesus Christ, who is the head, through God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together.
If I can, before I come to you, Bill, just to add a personal comment. Of course, that is really the focus to a great degree in Ephesians. This is being lifted basically from Ephesians and, of course, Hebrews, which is very Christ-centered, etc. So it's a worthy thought. Bill, we're going to just take a couple comments. Let's think of what I'm personally not opposed to what Gary has mentioned here. I'm just one, and I'm the moderator, but let's hear what Bill has to say, please.
I was simply going to agree with that. I felt that has to be somewhere in there. It's implied a church led by Jesus Christ. That's already implied.
Okay.
However, but I don't know if it should be made stronger by saying he is the head of the church.
I think it would be, we're going to be getting more words. As Darius mentioned yesterday, much is defined as we go down, you know, in everything. So, any comments here? Peter, please.
I like Gary's edit to add Jesus Christ to this, because as you go through the mission and the guiding principles, even our objectives, we've added the role of Jesus Christ throughout the document now, too. So I think it fits up top.
Right. Okay. Thoughts? Mario, then Scott.
My only addition would be, since we lifted this part of it from Ephesians 4:16, I would add Ephesians 4:15 before Hebrews 2:10.
I think you mentioned, yeah. In other words, to create the scriptural reference.
Which particular verse is that?
16.
I think, too, what we have, just looking at it, we certainly have a full acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and of certainly God the Father. God mentioned twice, I think, so we have a full thought of biblical theology and expression, both in Jesus Christ and God the Father mentioned twice. So I think it gives good breadth. And okay, are we satisfied? I'm going to come back to Darius, who was the originator of the what it once looked like. Darius, you started with it, and then we call it the Darren. We'll add the names together, Darius and Aaron. Gentlemen, are you satisfied with what's up here? And then we'll bring it back up to the council. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott and Bob. And then we're going to pause, and we need to really move on with the strategic plan. Scott.
Just as an editor, part of the wording is a little bit awkward to me. Everyone doing his or her share. His or her, we know what we're trying to be inclusive there. I'd like to suggest considering changing that to with all doing their share. I think that flows a little more smoothly, but just for consideration.
Okay. Anybody? Bob, we're going to take you, hopefully, for, unless there's an inspiring moment here, the last comment on this one. You had your Bible open, and you have a comment.
Well, I just have a concern. You had a question asked, which we're going to be dealing with on the doctrine issue, regarding baptism using the words the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I just have a bit of a concern, and to my thinking, I think we do not need to say through God's Holy Spirit, the church led by Jesus Christ, joined and knit together, because Ephesians 4 talks about Christ, the head, and through whom everything comes, and so on and so forth.
This brings the Father into it, though. I understand what Bob is saying, but this way, when you say God's Holy Spirit...
When we say God, we are normally using the terms, but when we say the word God, we are normally in our... Even in our cultural reference, we're thinking of the Father.
Yeah.
Are we all in agreement? And we have pastors here. Normally, you use the term God. We're in singular, you're thinking of the Father. Yes, Aaron?
You could put it back like it was in the sense you go with the church led by Jesus Christ, then joined through God's Holy Spirit and knit together. Like we had it, but putting led by Jesus Christ in front of where it was originally. So the church led by Jesus Christ, joined through God's Holy Spirit and knit together.
I think we're getting too complicated. Yeah. If you look how the early writers of the Gospels spoke of the Father or God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, they had a very easy flow through it. It was, you know, it's man that made it complicated later on. They had an easy flow of speaking of the Father or God or Christ or the Spirit.
And, we're starting to sound like an early church council.
Yeah. 350. No. Anyway, I recommend as the moderator here that we move forward with this. So I'm going to step aside for a moment. You call for vote, Mr. Chairman, please, that we're agreed on this, because we've modified it a little bit now. So I would like a ballot that we can stay with it. This is a preliminary ballot. Go ahead.
On the vision statement.
Just on the vision statement.
Okay. All right. Let me read it out to you again. A church led by Jesus Christ through God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity to bring many children to glory. Ephesians 4:16, Hebrews 2, verse 10. Bill, you have a question?
What does the preliminary ballot mean?
We are satisfied with this at this point. We're going to leave this behind.
Forever? I mean, it's...
No,
so we're bringing this back up again during our meetings? That's what I want to know.
This is the basic. We cannot continue to reverse it. We've spent 2 hours plus 10 minutes on this. This is where we, as the chairman of the strategic plan and the moderator of this, and the time expended that we need to get through, we need to focus on this. This is not written in stone forever. We can always come back and revisit it next year. We will go through an exercise for perhaps just half a morning next December or February. So this is what we would live with for this year.
I was just going to mention, before the council leaves town, the whole strategic and operation plan will be balloted on formally before you leave this week.
Right.
And so up until that point, edits can be made. But once you leave town, then that's what we're going to submit to the GCE.
That's why I'm saying this bill, this is preliminary. We may revisit everything for an hour max on Thursday morning because we have to move
the whole book at that point.
So my recommendation, yes.
May I suggest at this point, Robin, that you not vote?
Okay.
You voted yesterday. It's in limbo. And when you actually vote on the strategic plan, that will be a part of it. When they finalize, then you can, because you haven't approved the guiding principles.
Yes, we have. Yeah, we went through the guiding
principles. But you have not voted on the strategic plan per se.
So you just want one vote at the end.
That would be a whole lot better.
We'll take your advice. You're the secretary.
You said we've closed discussion. I have problems with the first way that it's structured. A church led by Jesus Christ through God's Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Anyhow, I don't want to launch off into that, but I think it needs more discussion about it, if it's going to be worded like that.
Do you think we can have limited discussion? Do you want to do it now?
No, I don't know if anyone else. What does that mean, through God's Holy Spirit?
The church is led through God's Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ to join and fitly come together.
The same Spirit is in God as in Christ. If you just say a church led by God's Holy Spirit, it's inclusive. And eliminate Jesus Christ in it through God's Holy Spirit.
Comment. Bill?
Yeah. I had the same problem as Don. I felt a little bit clumsy and couldn't see exactly how it worked. Maybe you could simply say a church led by Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit.
No. Then you're separating because the Holy Spirit abides in God and Christ.
I have an agreement with what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Don. Yes, absolutely.
Can we not say Jesus Christ and the Father? And leave it at that?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Led by Jesus Christ and the Father, joined and knit together.
You solved all of it. Just leave it a church led by God's Holy Spirit.
I think that would actually solve it.
That's how it was to begin with this morning.
Let's just go back. A church led by God's Holy Spirit.
in your addition initially was appreciated.
I'm happy to leave it up.
We leave this alone. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, gentlemen. Then we've made 15 minutes.
No, those three times. Please no.
Well, it's council world. Okay, 15 minutes. What we're going to do now, gentlemen, we're going to change direction a little bit because in talking with Mr. Rhodes and Mr. Luker and seeing where we're going, we need to really deal with the media philosophy statement first. The media philosophy statement is approved by the council, and it will really affect what our administration does on behalf of the United Church of God. And so we're, if you want to, Peter's going to be putting it up here, and I'm going to be, a lot of this is the work of our media committee, headed by Darius McNeely, and a lot of the words, the thoughts, the way it's put together comes out of our retreat session that we had in December. So, Mr. McNeely, if you would please come forward and guide the council, the administration, and the discussion. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good morning, everyone. Before we start, let me just clarify. The media philosophy statement has been on the back of the strategic plan and operation plan that's sent out with call and notice every year to the General Conference members. Is it part of the strategic plan or separate from?
It's an appendix.
That's what I thought. So when we ballot on what we have put together today, we're balloting on an item that is separate from the strategic plan. Just wanted that clarified for the council in advance before we start this. The media philosophy statement that we have had for several years is a council-approved document that was put together originally by the media committee and approved by the council to present, provide some guiding principles for the media operations area to do its work, its responsibilities. And it appears on the back of this every year. So we were given the responsibility after some discussion that we needed to revise this in light of all the revisions we had made with our strategic plan and also practical experience through the years with the media staff kind of poring over this and looking at it and not looking at it for a period of time through the years. My consensus, at least on the media committee and several of us in the operations, felt that this needed to be revised. And so the council in December remanded this to the media committee to come forward with a new document. And in the process of time, what we decided, and we had three discussions, three teleconferences, we came to the conclusion that what we needed was more of a set of media guiding principles. And so the committee renamed it from a media philosophy statement to media guiding principles. And the idea being that the principles that we would enumerate, which begin down here after a preamble, would give the media committee, and not just the committee, but especially the media operations, some more practical, tangible statements and guidelines by which to evaluate all of our media content for the publications, the print publications, the internet, and beyond today, and anything that the media committee is producing, and would give us the ability, a document to say, is this accomplishing what we want to accomplish with all of our media? It would also give us some practical teaching guidelines to work with developing writers, members, ABC students, any who would want to take up the pen and begin to write content for the web, for any of our publications, and so this would give us some guidelines to be able to craft future teaching. So this is what is behind this particular document that you see in front of you here. We worked through this, and I think probably as a committee, we came to feel that this was the best approach to have. Any questions at this point on how we got to this revamp of what we are presenting to you from any in the council. Try to go step by step here and answer this as we go. Okay. The committee, after three sessions, came to this to general consensus of approval on this as it is, and it has gone through an extensive set of wordsmithing. And as we've learned with any document, the ending of wordsmithing, there is no end. So we could go on and on and on, but the committee felt that we had done all that we could do at that point, and it was time to bring it to the council. So what I think is best for us to do is just to kind of read through it line by line. Let's take the preamble first, and then we'll look at the guiding principles. We have several that are enumerated down here. But let's take the preamble first, which is a general overarching statement that we have. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God is a divine mission given to the church. Following his resurrection, Christ directed his followers to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15, and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, Matthew 28:19-20. The United Church of God, an international association, takes this responsibility very seriously. We understand this is not the only day of salvation, and that the Father alone calls people to Christ. We also recognize that we are not directly responsible for converting the world, but are still compelled to boldly preach the gospel with a zeal and urgency that reflects the seriousness of the times. John 9:4 and Matthew 24:14. So this is the preamble that makes a statement regarding what we feel is our responsibility to do with as a work of proclaiming the gospel. Any thoughts or comments from the council on this? Gary?
I just have a question as to why you left the Holy Spirit out on the baptizing them. It's an actual quote, and then in the Bible that I have anyway, it says of the Holy Spirit as well, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I don't know why that was left out.
It was not an intentional deletion.
Because if you're actually quoting it, it's deliberately left out. Because when we baptize, we do baptize people in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we can put that in.
There is a question that has come to the doctoral committee regarding that victory quote. And the concerns people have regarding the accuracy of it, because it is a Trinitarian statement. And that is a concern.
It's a biblical statement, right?
We don't agree. That's an interpretation.
We had a discussion of this in the doctrine committee way back in the early days, and there is controversy over whether or not that is an addendum to the New Testament. Garden Pioneer of Southern California has written a paper going into research and history about this verse. And all of the examples from Acts to the end of the Bible, they're all baptized in the name of Jesus in every case. But as you say, that is a quote as it stands in the King James Bible. So
I don't think we have any choice but put it in. I mean, ever since I've been in the church, that is what we were taught, preached, baptized by.
That's the creed we use when we baptize people.
Exactly. If it's going to be changed, then we have a process for changing it. But to leave it out right now would create a big problem for us.
Another problem. That's exactly the conclusion we reached at that time, that that's what it is now. And there doesn't seem to be conclusive evidence to show that that was spurious. But we have this new paper to consider. Perhaps he has magic bullet or whatever. I don't know to prove it. But in all the examples from Acts to the end, baptizing, Jesus Christ.
Well,
Derek, with suggest, gentlemen, that we leave this in, that as everybody has stated before, this is what we've got. This is, at this point, what is in the Bible, as we understand it at this point. If the paper in your review, we can look at it next year. People that have a Trinitarian bias can take any word in the Bible and almost make a Trinitarian. And I would suggest the word stand.
Okay, then we'll let it. We'll let that be in. Any other comments on the first paragraph, Roy?
Very minor thing. In the old write-up, it was preaching the gospel. Was that changed to proclaim because that was not a wider, broader words to use?
It's a bold word.
It's an appropriate word. I can't give you a rationale for changing it, but we do commonly use the word proclamation as well as preaching. So
I just thought maybe there was a real
no
rationale called out.
Scott?
Well, if I can comment on that, preaching today, it does have a fairly restricted meaning. Use the word preaching, people think of just, you know, one-on-one voice or preaching in a congregational context, whereas proclamation covers all kinds of means of getting the word out. So that's, I don't recall whether I wrote that or what, but that's a terminology I would typically use there instead of just preaching.
Gerald.
Yes, this is just a and looking at the second paragraph, the second sentence.
Yes.
And the third sentence. The we understand this is not the only day of salvation, and the Father alone calls people to Christ. That second thought actually goes with the next sentence. It's almost like I would put a period, salvation. We also recognize the Father alone calls people to Christ, and we are not directly responsible for converting the world. That talk seems to go together.
So you're saying take this phrase, we also recognize and put that up here with the Father?
That's just because that flows to those two sentences then flow together. But that's changing. I'm just making that.
Bill?
Darius, I suggest that what Gerald says, I think, is valid. If you simply put a period after salvation, we understand this is not the only day of salvation. The Father alone calls people to Christ. And we recognize that we are not directly responsible for converting the world, and then continue on. So that we understand this is not the only day of salvation would be just a very short sentence.
So we're talking about doing that?
Yeah. Well then, yeah.
You joining these together here then?
And we recognize.
Join those, and we.
You taking it also or not?
Sentence. Why couldn't you put a period after the Father alone calls people to Christ? Make that a sentence. If you got a long sentence.
And then we are not directly responsible for converting the world. We would recognize that period like that.
I like this better. It does break it up.
Darius, I don't want to add to this because it's long, but looking at the concept here, thinking off of the retreat and some of the things that we mentioned, at the bottom there, a second paragraph, to preach the gospel with a zeal and an urgency that reflects the seriousness of the times. Just a statement, that's in a macro sense with the times, with a zeal and an urgency that reflects man's nature apart from God. Makes it more personal and the seriousness of the times. Otherwise, we tend to maintain more appropriately, but of more of a prophetic scenario rather than the need for the person. And as we deal with people individually to repent, and where our literature and where our communication needs to go. as well as the warning message.
I think, Darius, you might need to go through the principles, because I think what Robin says is picked up as you go through the principles.
I think it adds something at that point that is probably covered later. And that's fine.
Yeah. Just looking at face value. Yeah. Thank you.
Can we normally put a comma there or a semicolon?
Semicolon.
Okay. Any other thoughts then on these first two, Vic?
I have two thoughts. That first sentence in the second paragraph, I just really feel like we could probably do without it. I mean, we certainly take it seriously. Didn't we take it seriously before? You know, I mean, I don't think it really adds much. And since this is a document that's going to be around for a long time, this sounds like a statement based upon some kind of, you know, reaction possibly. But I would just say it's not necessary. Just start the paragraph with, we understand this is not the only day of salvation. Because already the United Church of God has mentioned up in the heading. We know what we're talking about. And that's my thought on that. And the other one is, Christ directed his following his resurrection, Christ directed his followers. Jamie kind of brought this up to me here. Says the word follow kind of comes twice. Maybe have after his resurrection, Christ directed his followers. That's just a cosmetic.
Following followers.
So after his resurrection, could we
say following his resurrection, Christ directed his disciples?
Either way, just that the word follow appears.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Could we leave following here and insert disciples, which is a more descriptive term for who is to do this job?
Yeah, that's how they call the Bible.
Anything else, Vic?
That's it.
Scott?
Yeah, a couple of comments. Actually, I would prefer to leave, change it back to after his resurrection, Christ directed his followers. I think I'd used followers in the original because disciples, a lot of people, again, will limit that to the 12 as opposed to all of his subsequent followers throughout history. I think that's why we chose that particular word. As to deleting the other sentence there, I understand what Vic is saying, but actually I would disagree with that because, frankly, one of the big factors in our recent division was a lot of people who did not have an urgency for preaching the gospel, and I feel pretty strongly that sentence needs to be in there before the second paragraph there because, again, that was a huge factor in the priorities of the two mindsets that led to our recent division there. We, those of us around this table, take it very seriously. Others did not take it seriously and, in fact, greatly diminished our efforts to preach the gospel to the world over recent years.
Okay, so we have two minds on this. Vic did raise a point that he felt it was a bit reactionary and would it stand the test of time going forward. Scott has voiced his feeling for why it would stay in. Does the council have any further comment to make on this? Robin?
I appreciate Vic's comments, but I will state that I support Scott's comment that over the last 3 or 4 years, the United Church of God has returned to its evangelistic roots, our seriousness about preaching the gospel through every effort, every means. I think this puts a stake in the ground and an example for people that will follow us that this is extremely important, that we move forward and always think big with God's guidance, and that it is not just about a small group of followers somewhere, but we've been given a task that we take very seriously to preach the gospel. So I think this is a stake in the ground now and also for future generations to hopefully follow our example.
Don?
Well, mine is about the next two sentences. So
well, let's stay on this point. Right?
Stay that one until later.
Gerald, your hand's up.
Scott, does the last sentence address the first sentence anyway, talking about zeal and urgency that we... Is it like a repeat of the first sentence, the last sentence?
Zeal and urgency, redundant.
Yeah, is that redundant? is what I'm asking.
I don't think so. I think the last sentence clarifies that, that we are compelled to boldly preach the gospel with a zeal and urgency.
Okay, Gary?
Well, I agree with Scott, and I don't think that's a reactionary statement. That is a statement, if we don't take seriously, very seriously, the commission that Jesus Christ gave to his church, then what are we doing as a church? So, I mean, to take this responsibility very seriously is something that we ought to do. It's not just a reactionary statement. If nobody had ever had anything lessened it or whatever else, you'd still want that statement in there. I think it's a great statement. And I think the last sentence does embellish that, but I don't think it replaces it.
All right, then, Scott, one more comment.
One final comment on that. But that's something that sets us apart from, frankly, all the independent world out there who, frankly, do not take that seriously. Is Robin was saying, that puts a stake in the ground, that identifies us, that is our mission, that is our work. So I don't think we can emphasize it too strongly.
Any other comment from the council on that point? If not, we'll leave it stand as it is. Don, you had a comment you said about something else in that paragraph.
The next two sentences I would like to see deleted. We do not need to wave that flag because we have not taught accountability to the youth as we should. And when we say this is not the only day of salvation, we have 50-year-olds that I know of who are still not baptized but sort of hanging around the church and thinking maybe they're going to be in the second resurrection or deathbed repentance or something like that. Today, if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart. And if you mix, this is not the only day of salvation, and there's a sense of urgency, that's sort of in conflict with each other. And that last sentence covers the aspect of we're not directly responsible for converting the world. And why wave the flag? This is not the only day of salvation. It's up to the Father, but we're still going to do this. And I would suggest deleting those two sentences.
I think he has a good point.
Any other comments from the council?
No. I think this is an ascent. I appreciate Don's comments. I think also this is perhaps an overreaction to where people think, quote unquote, where we're growing a church despite what we're doing. I think it can go.
All right.
You think it also then maybe does to
And do we need the word directly in there? Like, we recognize that we are not responsible for converting the world.
Well, I tell you, Jenny raised a good point. To me, since we've made this edit, then to look at this statement that stands by itself leaves a little bit of ambiguity in my mind. We recognize we're not directly responsible. I understand that for my years, we all do, but we're compelled. We may want to take this word responsible and put it down here, replace it for compelled, to put a bit more onus on us that we have no election. We can't elect to do this. It is our calling to do this. We are responsible, even though God converts. Lest there be any uncertainty as to what we are supposed to do and before God as a church.
Darius, if I can make a comment. I think this whole phrase is kind of in there somehow, that obviously we appreciate and validate John 6:44 and John 6:65, no man can come unto me. I think it's also some kind of a reaction to that because this has been adverse towards us, that, well, at times, because of the efforts that we are extending, that somehow we're growing a church. We know we do not grow a church. Only God the Father can call. But it's raising a lot of questions there. It's just not the way it's... It makes us, once again, frankly, I think at one end, as we understand that God, only God the Father does call to Jesus Christ, I think that statement, again, creates an atmosphere of passivity on our part. we recognize that we are not directly responsible. Okay, so what are we doing? God has given us a responsibility under Him to spread that net, to be fishermen of men. I just think it creates a passivity that we don't necessarily desire at this time in 2012.
I agree.
Peter?
Yeah, I'm thinking that with the first paragraph having been stated out of our mission, to make disciples, to preach the gospel, baptize people, we can then do the second paragraph, simply say the United Church of God takes it seriously, and then say, and we are compelled
yes.
to boldly preach
yes.
the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
And so we would just take out that. We are compelled. I'd say just do that. Therefore, we are compelled to boldly preach the gospel with zeal and urgency.
Like something like that.
We're actually deleting words. This is an amazing thing you're witnessing, folks.
That follows from paragraph one, then.
It's much better.
The United Church of, let's read it then. The United Church of God and International Association, UCGIA, takes this responsibility very seriously. Therefore, we are compelled to boldly preach the gospel with a zeal and urgency that reflects the seriousness of the times.
Amen.
Mr. Bradford.
I would agree with that. I think the only thing you could add in that is, relies on Christ to open the doors that we walk through, or simply something to that effect. We understand we're not trying to convert the world, but at the same time, we do have to rely upon Christ to open the doors for us to preach the gospel.
The principles.
Yeah, it's been stated. Peter reminds us that some of that is in the principles. Let's hold that thought and see. And
I'm happy to leave it as it is, but
okay.
I
all right, any other comments on this then? Gary.
Well, I like the edits that are there, because before it said we take this responsibility very seriously, but no, we don't, because we're not responsible. So my kids are taking SARS. We take this responsibility seriously, but we're not responsible. So I like the edits.
Amen. Okay. All right, let's move on after the preamble to the guiding principles. All right. We bullet pointed these with scriptural references to give us practical guidelines. Opening statement. Scriptural instruction must be the foundation of UCGIA's public proclamation efforts. The biblically based principles that follow will guide the church in all its media activities. Therefore, our media efforts and message will. Colon. And then we go into the guiding principles. So, any thoughts on this at this point? This just is to point the way into the guiding principles. Gary.
I just wonder if we shouldn't say scriptural instruction is the foundation instead of must be.
It sure is.
Is. We took out another word. We are really moving here, folks. Okay.
He's an editor. He likes this.
Gerald.
Therefore, its media efforts, it's referring to the church. Shouldn't it instead of our? What do you say, Scott?
I like the our, because it's a little more personal and inclusive.
Okay. Any other thoughts? All right, let's go to guiding principle number one. Therefore, our media efforts and message will reflect the love of God for mankind and His desire through Christ to form a meaningful relationship with all people. Reference John 3:16, 1 John 4, verses 8 through 11. And these, again, are not in any sense a priority, but they all have equal responsibility, equal weight. Comments on guiding principle, bullet point one. Gary?
Just one thought about mankind. I know what we mean by that. We mean everybody, but would you want to put humankind or mankind?
Humanity.
Humanity.
Make reflect the love of God for humanity.
About mankind, when we say
I think because I'm trying to be gender sensitive in that area. Mankind.
Any other thoughts? All right, let's move on to bullet point number two. Therefore, our media efforts and message will emphasize the need for individual repentance. I also want to call your thought to just look at the first word of each of these. We did work to get an action verb in each one here. So understand that as we go through. So this is to emphasize the need for individual repentance. Acts 2:38, Mark 6, verses 7 to 9, and verse 12, Luke 13, 2 to 5, and 24, verse 47. Okay, we'll move on to bullet point number three. Therefore, our media efforts and message will warn of the seriousness and urgency of the times, emphasizing the need for nations to turn to God. Matthew 24:14, 21 and 22, Luke 21:28, Ezekiel 33:1-9, and 2 Timothy 3:1-5. So if we get this, brings in the aspect of the warning message and the seriousness again.
Should we say emphasizing the need for individuals and nations to turn to God?
The previous bullet is individuals.
Yeah, I see that. Repentance, individual repentance. If that's adequate, fine. But seriousness and urgency of the times, what are we emphasizing? Okay.
May I insert a question here, Darius?
Sure.
I see repentance and urgency of the times. Is there any, unless it's down further, is there any thought, emphasize the need for individual repentance and faith towards God? I mean, if you go to Mark 1:14-15 that we're dealing with right now, as always, we've often stated that the twin conditions for relationship begin with repentance and faith. So one is repentance, but where is the step forward? Where's the positivity forward to relationship with God? I'm just suggesting that we need to have a dual focus there.
Well, next.
I'm asking if somebody spotlights it for me.
Encouraging hearers to seek God, be baptized, and vote an ever closer relationship with Jesus Christ.
Better put the faith here in there.
I would like to see the word faith somewhere demonstrated in our media philosophy statement. We don't need to do it at this moment, Darius. We could work on it, but I think it would be.
Let's keep that thought, Robin, right. As we move through and find another more appropriate place for it. They are segmented, and this one in focus is warning and. We try to start to expand it, then I think we are going to drift. Any other thoughts on this one here? Bob?
There's just two points. Luke 21:28 doesn't seem to fit in there at all. It says, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws near. I don't know how that fits in with the concept of preaching to the nations. And Matthew says that we are to preach to the world as a witness to nations. And we're sort of saying the nation should be turning to God. It says preach as a witness. And I think our.
But the end.
The
desired result of witnessing is for people to turn to God.
Of course, the whole world.
Yes.
All men to be saved.
That's what this. This is what this is. This is kind of in a macro sense. This is in a micro sense of the individual to repent. And this is dealing with a macro, larger, global point of view. Peter?
I read Matthew and Luke there as more the warning of the seriousness of the times than emphasizing the need to return to God. It was more look up and see that things are bad. And that's where that...
I think that those verses speak to urgency.
The warning is part there.
You had another point then, Bob?
Well, just where do you find in all of that then that nations are indeed going to turn to God? The point of Matthew 24 is to preach as a witness to the nations.
emphasizing the need for nations to return to God, whether they do or not, is...
Well, individuals can repent. We understand that.
Yes.
That the second point is correct there. But the third point, we're implying that the nations can repent as an individual can. Would be wonderful.
Well, I think that, Bob, historically our message has always implied that. Our message has always implied that they can.
Just Nineveh. And didn't really do much for them.
Jeremiah 18 talks about nations could change.
Yeah. They're going to have to one day, we know that. But okay, that's fine. I made my point.
Okay,
Jeremiah 18:8. At what time a nation, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to be the day. Jeremiah 18:17, 7 and 8.
Then add
the numbers. 7 and 8.
That's good. That's better.
Ezekiel is about live, turn and live. Tony will turn and live.
Let's see. The gentleman from Australia?
Well, I was just going to say the idea is warn, not to make disciples out of necessarily. That comes to the next point. So if you say warn, well, that's what you're doing. It's you're emphasizing their need, and that is the warning. Turning to God is also a warning, too. That's a part of the gospel message. I don't see a problem with the way it's said.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Then let's move on to the next bullet point. Therefore, our media efforts and message will emphasize making disciples, encouraging hearers to seek God, be baptized, and develop an ever closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Robin, does this meet your criterion of faith?
No.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, I think that and being a writer myself and being a communicator from the pulpit, I really would hope that we would have more emphasize the need for individual repentance and personal faith towards God. To be very simple, Darius, when we're writing, you know, we're talking, you know, from our retreat of historically how we communicate, that we want to state the problems that are at hand, both in people and the nations, and at the same time, though, make our articles, make our communication, where do we, not only what is wrong, but is right, and what is right is to have faith in God and to give our lives to Him and entrust our lives to Him. And I would like to see, what I'm thinking is, we have some of these young people here that are going to be our writers one day. This is an instruction manual as to communicate the gospel and the fullness of it, both to repent and believe. That's why I'd like to see it up top.
Peter?
Yeah, I just looked through our document. We don't have the word faith anywhere in there. So I'm just suggesting adding an ever closer faithful relationship with Jesus Christ, if that would be a place to put it, to get the word faith in, if you want to.
Ariel, you had your hand up?
Yes. Since we omitted that other part about God's calling, and I think that's a very important to stress, because frankly, what separates us from other groups outside is that we do believe in God's calling. So I would like to add, emphasize making disciples as God calls them.
As God calls. Don?
I would suggest we do not put that in there. Emphasizing making disciples, when the message goes out there and it falls on the ears, you have a choice of whether you're going to respond or not. You can always say, well, God didn't call them, and we go back to that debate of how does God call, when does God call, and so on. But the edit I would suggest, emphasize making disciples, encouraging hearers to repent, exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for remission of sin, and go from there. And it gets in what Robin was saying. Encouraging hearers to repent, exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for remission of sin, be baptized. That's the first three steps before laying on of hands, as per the basic doctrine in Hebrews 6, 1. You've got to do those two before you're baptized. You've got to repent, and you've got to exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ. Peter gave the shortened formula in Acts 2:38. He didn't put in faith in the sacrifice of Christ. He just said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus.
I agree with that. Just one comment. Are we creating a doctrinal treatise, or are we creating some media guidelines? And sometimes I think we feel like we've got to get every doctrine enumerated and every statement that we make and every word we put on paper. And
well, that's hardly any difference, just different words than what was up there. It's a little more specific and succinct.
It is to be instructional.
Darris, if I could make a comment quick,
sure.
That'll be short. And I appreciate Doc's support. Mine is very simple, emphasize the need for individual repentance and faith. Because again, we're looking at this not as a doctrinal treatise, but how is a young writer going to begin to develop communication for us, the United Church of God? How do you put an article together? How do you make a statement? And you know that as an editor, Scott does in content. I'm looking at this as being how do we put meaningful content out to get the fullness out.
Any other
faith towards God?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I like.
Faith towards God.
You're talking about faith towards God here.
Yeah, and faith. Because
I like that.
In God we trust.
I like that.
Okay. All right. Let's take this one briefly, and then we'll come back down here to this one. Any comments? Can we agree with that edit on this one as a council? Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a scripture in Acts 20:21 that says, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We have repentance and faith towards God. I think I think we're duplicating quite a bit there, Darris, if you don't mind me saying, with the emphasized need for individual repentance and then emphasized making disciples. Emphasize making disciples has to do with teaching them all things which I have commanded you. Now, the need for individual repentance involves repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, which implies faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You don't have to put that part in there necessarily. But we've got some duplication there in the two. That is making disciples when you say that.
The way I read it, if we took this out and just left this for repentance, don't we include the thought down here in making of disciples through repentance, faith in Christ, and seeking God in baptism? Don't we cover it down here? Just let this stand alone as an individual. Repentance is a separate step. Acts 2:38, first step is to repent. And then that you build from that, and we're trying to do that as we go through.
But use Acts 20 as a scripture in the fourth point down there, Acts 20:21. This is what we're saying.
And take it out up here?
No. No, go ahead. I'm with you on that. Leave it there.
Well, I was emphasizing taking it out of here.
Oh, you were? Okay.
And because we cover faith down here.
Good.
And then we can put your Acts 20 down here then.
With repentance as a separate step.
Yes.
Was it, Bill?
2021.
All
right, John?
Yeah, this is a media philosophy which tends to be towards the preaching of the gospel, not the preparing of the people. I would suggest leaving the second bullet point with repentance and faith and deleting the fourth, which lends more towards the preparing the people side, which may not be that big a part of the media philosophy.
You can't separate the two.
It is a part of it.
But if you include it in bullet two as repentance and faith.
Well, I think there was a desire to expand that more toward Christ, which is what we did down here.
Are we covering in our media baptism and all of that as well?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. This is an all-encompassing media, and everything from first contact to member development along the way.
Fine.
United News article.
I was thinking more of
Bible study course.
The upfront media part rather than.
No, it's member the intent is all encompassing.
Yeah.
The other gentleman from Australia.
Yeah. In terms of sequence, Darius, should we move seek God to the first line, emphasize making disciples, encouraging hearers to seek God, to repent, and then continue from there? That's the first step, isn't it?
Okay. Emphasize making disciples, encouraging hearers to seek God, to repent, exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ, be baptized, and develop an ever closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that redundant now?
Yeah, that's good.
Peter, take out the second two and two repent.
You want to say repent of sin? That you're saying exercise faith. Sacrifice, I was just going to say exercise faith. Because there's more than just faith in the sacrifice of Christ. There's faith in God that He has the grace to give you. There's a lot of faith involved. So I think you're limiting it by saying only faith in the sacrifice of Christ.
Well, you have to have faith in the sacrifice of Christ in order to have the sins committed.
That's true.
And I agree that there's more to faith than just that one aspect.
Right.
But to be baptized, you at least have to do that.
Well, you have to believe the gospel too. You have faith to believe the gospel. So that's why I say if you leave it, exercise faith. I'm happy with it either way.
The flow that we have here, we almost need to have include sacrifice of Christ because we're moving from repentance to baptism.
Jairus, I just have just an overall comment. Maybe I'm out of line, but we sure need to be careful not to over-edit as we're going through, because these principles are not even actually a part of the strategic plan, and we've got a lot to go through. And if we do this every step of the way, we're not going to get through it all. It's just my feelings, that we're only about halfway through the guiding principles that are not officially a part of the strategic plans. I guess I'm just saying that I know that we can wordsmith things to death. We want to get it right. But, looking at the vision statement, in other words, I could end up saying, I think we need to improve that and change that. I just encourage us to kind of move along a little faster. We were supposed to start the strategic plan this morning.
Yes.
And that's going
to
take two hours.
We have three more to go. Your point is well taken.
Yeah.
Gentlemen of the council.
I scheduled an hour for this, and you're still within the hour.
So. Okay. All right. Can we then move from this point on down and move on here?
Actually, some more on the second page, too.
Oh,
let's go quickly.
Oops.
If I could suggest we go ahead and just read through the rest of it, because that might address a lot of points that are brought up later.
Keep in mind, the media committee spent a lot of time to get it to this point. So but I noticed the media committee's editing a lot as we go. Anyway, we will reflect God's ultimate purpose of bringing many children to glory, which is a message of peace, hope, and the joy of salvation. And this one, we bring in another concept there, Hebrews 2:10 and Psalm 51:12. Okay. We will also teach the Word of God so as to transcend the ideologies, religions, and politics of the world and to effectively reach different national, linguistic, cultural, and religious groups. So this is a very broad statement to not get into politics and to keep it at a very high biblical level here. Teach the Word of God using a balanced mix of sound doctrine, prophecy, and Christian living principles.
Right out of new guiding principles.
Yes. Yeah. Express God's truth in a way that is clear, challenging, convincing, compelling, and engaging.
The high calling.
That is a high calling.
We will also endeavor to reach and meet the needs of people who have varying levels of spiritual understanding and maturity. This is the milk to meat concept put in different words here. Okay? On this one. Utilize available, practical, and affordable means and technologies to proclaim the good news of the gospel, encouraging and developing interactivity when possible and prudent. Romans 10 and 1 Corinthians 9. So, available, practical, and affordable means of technologies. This is for everything from print, internet, television.
That encompasses the opening doors concept that was brought up earlier.
Okay, yes. And then the last bullet point, we will endeavor to energize and involve the entire church in this mission of proclaiming the gospel. So this was a thought here that once again we wanted to encourage the involvement of individuals within the church to take a part in anything from the writing of an article, distribution of a magazine, personal example, and but to energize and to involve the entire church in this mission of proclaiming God. And this speaks to what we worked over on in the vision statement yesterday as well. Okay. Any overall thoughts or comments regarding this? Randy?
Under the second one from the top right there, endeavor to reach and meet the needs. I think you ought to reach the minds and meet the needs. You don't meet needs until you reach the mind. And I would throw into the list of scriptures, I think we ought to have some thought about Matthew 7:6, don't cast what is holy to the dogs or your pearls before swine. There are some people who don't have any functional spiritual understanding or maturity. We have to talk to them at a level that, you know, speaks their language until they begin to have some spiritual understanding.
So what was that verse?
That's Matthew 7:6. So reaching the minds would be the other edit. Endeavor to reach the minds and meet the needs.
How does the council feel about that? Reach the minds and meet the needs. All right, put it in. Any other thoughts? Gary?
Well, I don't know if we feel that the reaching all nations is good enough. I wonder, is there not a special commission of reaching Israel, to preach this gospel to the peoples of Israel? You know, and I don't know if that's necessary to put in there. It seemed like that. Because we know they're the ones that are going to be brought down. Should there be something, a special bullet in there to reach? We see a responsibility. Jesus Christ said, you will not have gone over all the cities of Israel. Do we feel we should put one in there? That's, I'm just asking the question.
Are you referring to this?
The one back there?
Yeah.
That one. The second from the bottom.
This one here?
Yeah, that talks about reaching different national linguistic. Do we want to make a separate bullet that says we realize a responsibility to reach the
the modern peoples of Israel or not?
You raise a good point. My suggestion is that we table that for perhaps a bigger discussion, and that could be brought back into this.
Okay.
I think we have it covered in principle, but it is perhaps a larger discussion on that needs to be made.
Okay.
If I can comment on that, the top bullet point up there, one of the clips.
For nations to turn to God.
The seriousness and urgency of the times, emphasizing the need for nations to turn to God. In our thinking, or at least my thinking in that, was it's implicit in that yes, Israel is the primary nation that we are trying to reach.
What you're saying, you could say Israel and all nations. You could say something like that.
I wouldn't want to put Israel in there because
that's why I say it's a larger discussion.
We already have enough problems among the non-Israelitish people with regard to this situation. God is not a respecter of persons. Go ye therefore into all world, teach all nations. It doesn't just single out Israel. It's all inclusive.
Yeah,
and it can cover. And also in Galatians 3 at the end, where if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Spiritually.
And the God's goal is everyone to be a part of the Israel of God, regardless of ethnic origin, national origin, etc. So to just stick Israel out there is, to me, a red flag. It will do us a lot more harm than good.
About saying all nations.
Yep.
All nations. All nations to turn to God.
Just to reinforce that, Matthew 24, prophecy by Christ, was to the whole world. It wasn't just restricted to Israel. The Ezekiel 33 is a principle of preaching and turning people, not just only to Israel. We have that inclusive. That's included in there. I don't think we should be making any kind of distinction here between the two. Christ didn't take that view.
Any other thoughts on any other point that we...
Very simple, very quick, Garris. I really appreciate the media philosophy putting in endeavor to energize and involve the entire church in its mission. This is differential from our current statement, which was basically that people come into the church almost solely just simply through media. This galvanizes the church. It's a whole church effort. We're not just media driven. We are a church. We are people. Kingdom of God seminar is a match between media and ministry. I really like that right there. That sums up what we are. It's a whole church effort.
Let me make one summary comment before we go to the summary statement. The committee put this together based on some comments that I think Peter made and I had made, that we really, the media operations area needs a practical tool to work with our media efforts, not just a large philosophical statement. And so we will take this and we will begin to work with it, and should there arise a need for additions or edits to it, we can always bring that back. This is meant to be a working document, living document, not something that's set in stone. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the summary statement that we felt needed to wrap up everything. The media efforts of the United Church of God in all formats, venues, and locations should apply these principles to ensure that our activities consistently focus on the God-inspired message of repentance and salvation. Using these guiding principles will serve to harmonize and enhance our efforts in fulfilling the Great Commission. So this was the summary statement that the committee put together to wrap it all up.
Well, repentance towards salvation? Are we dealing with two separate things? Garris, is there the second line? On the God-inspired message of repentance towards and salvation. Repentance is towards salvation. I mean, just make it simple.
It's two separate thoughts. We're talking about repentance, we're talking about the message of salvation itself.
Yeah. Message of repentance.
Yeah.
So, like, repentance is the first step is towards salvation. It's minor at this point. Here, Denny, just
Mario.
Yeah, looking at the past philosophy statement, I'm still not comfortable not bringing up the concept that God does the calling. And I don't know where we can just put that in about.
We did.
No, we took it completely out.
Gary, what, back to the preamble, Darius, I think there's a place you can put it.
We took it. Okay, we took it out of here. What was the? You can go over to your edits.
Yeah. Right here. Yeah, right down there.
That the Father alone calls people to salvation.
I think that's very important. I know that we can philosophize, but it is a basic, fundamental teaching of our church, and it distinguishes us from evangelical Christianity. Because you look at this philosophy statement, it looks like it's not that much different than, well, we're just going to preach the world, gospel to the world, and with zeal and urgency. Yes, but there is a condition that God does say.
We would put it right in here?
Yes.
That's so the only thing. The Father alone calls people.
That God does the calling. We are compelled. Something like that.
Well, I like what we deleted.
Because he has a separate statement.
It was a separate statement, and it was more in line with John 6:44.
All right, so let me take this statement here.
Could I make it simple? Adaris takes this responsibility very seriously, even though we acknowledge that God the Father alone calls. Back there, takes this responsibility very seriously, comma, even though we fully acknowledge that God the Father alone calls.
I think we're on 644, 665. Wouldn't recognize we better than acknowledge. Acknowledge implies some sort of reluctance.
I have a suggestion, Derek.
Well, let's let
you put that one back in.
It's like it's not on the day of salvation. The Father alone.
And then put the scriptures right after that, Derek. John 6:44 and 65.
Put it down here.
You're going to put it just at the end.
That's the form that we chose.
6:44 and 65, Peter. 65. Yeah, there you go.
Most people don't know 64.
Will that work, Scotty, if I just do all of John like that?
The United Church of God takes this responsibility very seriously. We understand this is not the only day of salvation.
We took that out.
We took that out. Don had made the comment that today you will hear his voice.
I mean, it's a self-defeating thing, and I hear it all the time with regard to people delay, and also they think that if you're not baptized, you're not accountable. And we really have not taught accountability. So we go back and wave a flag out there. This is not the only day of salvation, and God has to call us. One of the first papers that the United Church of God wrote after we began was, are our children being called now? And the resounding answer of that paper is, and we still have the paper, is yes, they are. But they can reject the calling. I mean, the tree of life is there. So,
Don, isn't Mario, though, talking about our understanding toward the world? I believe exactly what Don is saying toward the church. I'm thinking of this, as Mario is saying, it's been a basic doctrine and teaching of the church that God isn't calling everyone now to be a part of the first fruits in the bride of Christ.
Well, I mean, that's a given, too, but we are trying to get the, to preach a sense of urgency to repent now and all of that, and then turn around and say, well, we know that God has to call you, and this is not the only day of salvation, and all of this, but, you know, we're going to preach it. Yeah. It's,
I would prefer to see us incorporate the Father alone calls people to Christ.
That was my initial
suggestion. And leave that, and leave this concept out of the statement.
Yeah.
If we can put that in.
Yeah. Seriously, even as we fully acknowledge God the Father alone calls. And we're going to pour all of our theology into this, and that's not what we're looking for.
What if you put it as a bullet point? We plant the seeds of the gospel, although God calls, God alone calls, make it your first bullet point. Because we do plant the seeds of the gospel, everything that we say.
Peter?
Yeah, I hear what Mario is saying, what everybody's saying, but I think it was much cleaner the way it was without this in there. We can't try and explain every little doctrinal piece. This is a media principle statement of what we're going to do. We'll let God do the calling. This is what we're going to do. And that God doing the calling doesn't have to necessarily be in this particular document. Yes, it's in our fundamental beliefs, but it's not in this document. This is our document to say, okay, so we're going to do our best to make disciples and let God do the calling. That's implied.
I agree with that. We cannot make a doctrinal treatise out of every sentence we write, or we will just chase our tail around.
So I just leave it like that, I think.
This is an internal document
for writers.
Okay?
And TV presenters.
And what?
And TV presenters.
Yes. It will go public, but everything else is public too. I mean, this doesn't negate anything, any other part of our doctrinal belief.
We have nothing in here about clean and unclean meat,
but or true ties.
Just make a point though. None of that was in the previous one. And what we are leaving out completely in this document is that concept.
Mario, the previous document was not a usable document. It was a very nice philosophy, but we sat around this table hours at the time in the media department reading that, and our eyes would glaze over. Okay? It may have included it, but that didn't give us a practical, hands-on template for things. That's what we're trying to create. And the lady from Australia.
If it's permissible, to me, where we say we take the responsibility very seriously to reach those God is calling, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach the people God is calling. That could cover that without taking away.
Yeah. We're trying to witness to everybody though too, not just those he's calling, as a warning of sin.
Yes. Suggestion as a bullet point, like maybe the first bullet point, so that it isn't up in there. It's down as a bullet point because it's practical. Plant the seeds that we will there. The message will plant the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom. Although God does the calling, whereas God does the calling, and then you cite the scriptures. So they are planting seeds, and what we're doing is trying to reach everybody. We're planting the seeds of the gospel, even if they don't convince them of it. I just make it another bullet point. Thus, it's there.
I mean, I agree with the statement, but I'm coming back as a practical tool for the media operations to use. What does that do for us in our practical efforts?
You could also put it down, even if we're talking about making disciples, you could say encouraging those whom God calls to seek God, repent, and so on. So if you want to make sure that's in there, it could be done in that area where you're talking about the process of making the fourth bullet down. Encouraging those God calls.
That sounds good enough for me.
Those the Father calls
to see
God
and seek Him.
Okay.
So then we could put John 6:44.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of the process, but it's still in there. But it's
all right.
Not.
Verse 65 as well.
We have got this document to a point where the chairman is calling for a break. Yeah.
Take some kind of ballot on this.
Melvin? We need to take a ballot on this as a council, then, so I'll let you do that. Okay.
I don't have to read the whole thing.
No.
Just, this is going to be a quick ballot. How many support this? Okay. Are we going to have to move on this?
We need to move.
Some of the other ones are touching up.
Too. Okay. Who would like to move on this?
One clarification. At some point, somebody should, since we've rearranged a lot of scriptural references, at some point somebody should go through and put the scriptural references in the order in which the phrases are mentioned, but I think we can do that after we ballot on it. So, just with the understanding that that would be done.
Okay. Yes, Dallas.
Roy's brought up a point. Do we need to, as part of a movement to accept this, rescind the old one and adopt this as our new?
Probably.
Gerald's nodding.
You can, we can make it all one resolution. Just say we rescind with the media philosophy statement and now adopt. And I'll just put it in one resolution.
Okay. Gary?
You want me to move?
Yes, please.
I move that we rescind the previous media philosophy statement and we accept the media guiding principles as edited today.
Anybody like to second? Yeah, two, Scott and Mario. Not sure who was first. Okay. All right. Those in favor, please raise their hands.
There's one absence.
Donna Moore's not here.
One absence.
Oh. Oh, one is missing. But
John, did you?
I raised your hand.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's 11. That's unanimous.
Fine. Okay, let's just take a 5-minute break and then we'll start the next segment.
5 minutes.
Well, 10.